Gopijana Vallava Girivara Dari, Gopijana Vallava Girivara Dari, Jashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana, Jashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana, Jamuna Tiravanachari, Jamuna Tiravanachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Nityai Gora Haribol, 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 Nityai Gora Haribol, Nityai Haribol, 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 Nityai Gora Haribol. Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Satara Sata Sisimatis Divine Grace Aisiva Krivedanta Swami Sila Prabhupada Kicha Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Namacharya Sila Haridasta Kurki Prensi Gohosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sivasadi Goravakta Vrindaki Sisi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radhakunda Giridi Govardhanki Ganga Maiki, Jamuna Maiki, Tulasi Devi Maharaniki, Gaura Premanandi, all glories to the Assemble devotees, all glories to the Assemble devotees, all glories to the Assemble devotees, all glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada Kichai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 14, text number 42. Right? Yep. Okay, text 42. Ditirubacha Vadam Bhagavata Sakshat Shunabodara Bahuna Ashase Putrayor Mahyam Makrudat Brahmanat Prava Badam Bhagavata Saksat Sunabodara Bahuna Ashase Putrayor Mahyam Makrudat Brahmanat Prabhu. Okay, please chant. Padam Bhagavata Sakshat Bodhara Bahuna Ashashe Putrayor Mahyam Mabruda Pradmanat Prabhu Bhagatla Sakshat Sunabhadara Bahuna Ashashe Putrayor Mahyam Mabruda Brahmanat Prabhu Vadam Bhagavata Sakshat Madhvadara Bhakunam Ashashe Putrayor Mahyam Makrudat Pramanat Prabhu Vadam Bhagavata Sakshat Sunabodhara Bahunam Ashashe Putrayor Mahyam Makrudat Brahmanat Prabhu. Anybody else? Okay. All right, so word by word translation, please repeat after me. Diti Uvacha.
Diti Uvacha.
Diti said.
Vadam,
the killing,
Bhagavata,
by the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Sakshat,
directly,
Sunabha,
with his Sudarshan weapon,
Udara,
very magnanimous,
Bahuna,
but by the arms.
Ashashe.
I desire.
Putrayoho.
Of the sons.
Mahyam.
Of mine.
Ma.
Never. I'm sorry. Never be.
Never be itself.
Krudat.
By the rage.
Brahmanat,
of the Brahmanas.
Prabhu,
of my husband.
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. This is said, so repeat after me, I'll just say a few words. Diti said,
it is very good that my sons
will be magnanimously
killed by the arms of the Personality of Godhead
with his Sudarshan weapon.
Oh, my husband,
may they never be killed
by the wrath
of the Brahmana devotees.
When Diti heard from her husband that the great souls would be angered by the activities of her sons, she was very anxious. She thought that her sons might be killed by the wrath of the Brahmanas. The Lord does not appear when the Brahmanas become angry at someone, because the wrath of the Brahmana is sufficient in itself. He certainly appears, however, when his devotee simply becomes sorry. A devotee of the Lord never prays to the Lord to appear for the sake of the troubles the miscreants cause for him, and he never bothers him by asking for protection. Rather, the Lord is anxious to give protection to the devotees. Diti knew well that the killing of her sons by the Lord would also be his mercy, and therefore she says that the will and arms of the Lord are magnanimous. If someone is killed by the will of the Lord and is thus fortunate enough to see the arms of the Lord, that is sufficient for his liberation. Such good fortune is not achieved even by the great sages. Om magyana temerandasya yanangyana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmae sri gurave namaha. I offer my humble and respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who has forced to open my eyes with torch-like knowledge. I offer my humble and respectful obeisances unto Him. Hare Krishna. So, glad to see you back here in Srimad Bhagavatam class. I know this chapter of the Bhagavatam, which the title is The Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening, is a little bit racy, a little bit, you have to be a little bit older to understand some of the things. But anyway, we are trying to understand these points from the point of view of the devotees and the devotional service and bhakti yoga. And that's what we are here to speak about, is about bhakti yoga. So basically, you may have missed some of the classes here, but what happened here was that Kashyapa Muni, who was a great sage, became infatuated, actually, in a sense. Kashyapa Muni is blaming Diti for what happened, which was to have a sexual relationship in order to have children. And he's blaming her that the children will be born as demons because they were the act of the performance of this act of sexual activity was done at the wrong time. Now, I listened to a lot of Bhagavatam classes. I listened to all the Bhagavatam classes that happen here and others as well, mainly on the internet or whenever I can, I listen to Bhagavatam. So there has been a lot of classes that have been taught here and in this subject. Some of the ones that I remember that really caught my eye, my attention, were some that were spoken by Nagaraj Prabhu, also Pundarika Vidyanidhi Prabhu, and also Mother Devaki, who was visiting us for a few days here. So I'll try to summarize a little bit what it was said. Nagaraj Prabhu was saying, well, so Kashyapa Muni, who was a great sage, couldn't control his senses at that time. And so they had this sexual union, and then therefore some bad progeny came out of it. And he said, but you know, you have our great devotee, who is considered our Namacharya, in other words, the Acharya of the holy name. I mean, it's a very important position. His name is Haridas Thakur. You may have heard of him. He's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the story is that the Khan of the town, who was very envious of Haridas Thakur, sent a prostitute, a woman, to have union with him in the middle of the night. Also same situation as Kashyapa Prabhu, Kashyapa Muni. And so, but he said, no, you just wait there. I'm going to chant my rounds first, and then I'll be with you. You may have heard that story, right? The story of Haridas Thakur. So now, if you think about it, well, Haridas Thakur spent all night chanting his rounds, and then the time passed by, and the woman left, and then he was, well, come back tomorrow. Today, I just didn't have the time for this. So the conclusion is that, well, Haridas Thakur was the Acharya of the holy names. He chanted so many rounds. He chanted the names so many times. And that is his glory. But if you, from the teachings of my Shiksha Guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, there is something else to this point. Why is Srila Haridas Thakur the Acharya of the holy name? Why is he so important? Why does he have this power? You know why? Because he was following the instructions of his guru. Who was his guru?
Do you know anyone knows who was the guru of Haridas Thakur? Anybody here in the audience? Any of you children? The guru was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him an instruction to chant the holy names of God. So he took it very serious. Very, very serious. So he was chanting all day and all night. So he was always absorbed in the chanting of the holy names. But that's because he got an instruction from his guru. So that is the why Haridas Thakur is so great. Because he followed perfectly the instructions of his guru, who was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So ultimately, everything comes down to the point that one needs, and I've said this before in previous classes as well, that one needs to find a spiritual master, Prabhupada's main philosophy. That chapter in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 34, which he says, that viti pranipatena, you need to find a guru, a bona fide spiritual master. He'll give you the truth because he has seen the truth. What is the glory of Srila Prabhupada? Why was he able to do, or why did he do what he did, coming all the way to America, to New York City? What? Exactly. He said it many times. You probably have heard it on the Hare Krishna film that Yadavar Prabhu produced, where Prabhupada is saying, my guru asked me to come here to do this. He told me to go to the West and preach to the English-speaking people. That is the glory of Srila Prabhupada, that he followed the orders of his spiritual master. What is the glory of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, that he surrendered to Gorakhisor Das Babaji? Now, if you think about it, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he was one of the greatest scholars the world has ever known. He was so intelligent. He was amazing. He was able to recite the Bhagavad Gita at your age. At the age of 7, he could recite the Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit. He knew all the slokas. He was amazing. But still, when he got to a realization, I need a guru to give me his mercy, then he surrendered to his guru, and then he became beyond perfect. Because he got the mercy from his guru. Now we come to the class that Devaki Mataji gave on Sunday here. And she was speaking how that teaching, she was saying, needs to come from a person, a guru, or a person that is in front of you. In other words, that is not good enough if you are just watching television, or if you see a person speaking on television. It's actually, there is a transmission of the energy that comes from the teacher that goes into the disciple. Well, here we need to step back a little bit. I need to analyze this from the teachings that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj gave me personally, you know, from his mouth to my ear. And what he said is that, yes, although that he said that you can get realizations from the books, from videos, you can get realizations from anything that is spiritual that you are connected to, but ultimately you need to have a guru, and a guru needs to impart you this knowledge directly from his mouth. You know, in other words, basically very close to what Devaki Mataji was saying the other day, which is that the actual transmission of the devotional energy is easier or better. That was Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's point, that it is much more efficient, so to speak. And he said, not only that, but this is our philosophy, is the Vaishnava philosophy. Now, if you say that you are a Vaishnava and you follow the teachings of the Vaishnava philosophy, then this is the essence of the Vaishnava philosophy. Ultimately, you have to hear the teachings of the Bhagavatam directly from a person that you can see, you can talk to, and that person can see you and talk to, and also creates an example that you can follow. So if I'm speaking here the Srimad Bhagavatam,
And I'm trying to say, well, I'm a devotee of Krishna, and I know this information. But then in my life, I don't act accordingly to the teachings. Then you'll say, well, wait a second, you know, he's saying this, but he's doing that. So that wouldn't be proper. And that's why Maharaj was telling me that, yeah, when a person is in front of you, a guru, you're following a guru that is alive and is in person, is in front of you, he's an example for you to follow so that you can follow the teachings. And it will be much easier to understand the teachings if he's given to you by a living acharya. So what happened with Kasyapa Muni? Well, he's from another age, which is way before the Kali Yuga. And he didn't, in a sense, he was given a mission. The mission was to populate planet Earth. And so to create children, basically, that would populate the planet. And that was his duty, so to speak. But in a sense, he was not in line with the great advantage that we have here today, which is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came over 500 years ago and brought these teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the most important thing that Mahaprabhu did for us is that he installed the deity of the name of God in our hearts. That's the most valuable thing that we can ever think of, that Krishna has appeared in this age in the name of God. But again, we have to look at both things. The name has appeared in the name of God, and now Prabhupada's teaching is that the name of God needs to be given to the devotee by a bona fide teacher, by someone that is following the instructions of the Bhagavatam. And then we come to Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj's teaching, which is that it has to be given by a person that is in front of you. In other words, the books, the knowledge of Sanskrit, this is very good. But the essence of all the teachings is that the guru, the person, is actually giving you the instructions in a personal manner. Do you understand this point? I hope you do. It is the main point of our philosophy, of the Vaishnava philosophy. And Kasyapa Muni, of course, was born many, many ages ago before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. He was not as lucky as we are that we had the appearance of Mahaprabhu, and then we have been able to learn from him. Okay. So there are two things that now everybody is going to go to school pretty soon here, so I'll try to rush a little bit. What was said here in the purport by Srila Prabhupada is that there are a couple of things that I would like to mention. So if you can leave this temple room with this idea in mind, what we just discussed about guru, and the second one is that a devotee may do so many activities, but even though he may be attacked or he may suffer difficulties in his life, he never wants to bother Krishna. He doesn't want Krishna to come and save him in one sense. He's not trying to get Krishna to get out of his way in order to save him. He accepts whatever is coming to him. But Krishna, the Lord, he says, Prabhupada right here, is that, in other words, the devotee doesn't want to bother Krishna by asking for protection, but the Lord is anxious to give him protection. In other words, the Lord wants to give protection to the devotee. In other words, even though you may not ask for this help, Krishna will come to help you. This is the most amazing thing. And you know why? Do you know why Krishna is going to come and help you no matter what you do, if you are a devotee of God? Because God is love. That would be, again, teachings from Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. God is love. Start from that point of view. Because he loves you, if you have any difficulty in your life, Krishna will come and help you. The only thing you need to do is fold your hands and, you know, just praise his glories. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You don't need to ask him for anything. Krishna will come and help you to understand his nature, understand the holy name, and your life will be perfect. And now I wanted to read a poem for you. I think I read this many, a couple of years ago here in this temple room. It's a very interesting poem, and I would like to leave you with this. I know you folks only have a few minutes here. So the poem I wrote, I don't know exactly, maybe about 15 years ago. It said, this is from my own writing. Today, I have seen your mask, changing faces in the sun. A lion, a boar, a dwarf, a horse, a beautiful woman playing with a ball. You are a child playing with time, and I have caught you because I know your name, Krishna. So that poem is telling you that the Supreme Lord appears in has so many masks, so many faces, and comes according to time, place, and circumstance in order to save his devotee. But for us as Vaishnavas and followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, ultimately the God is that Krishna that plays on his flute. And I brought my flute here just to play a little bit for you, see if I can play, although it's very early in the morning. Just play it 1 or 2 minutes or so. And also because my good friend Dasarath Prabhuji is here, and he likes to hear the flute, because he makes flutes himself. So he's a very good, he's a good flute player, but also he makes very nice bamboo flutes. You could probably see him. So let me just play a little bit for you. Well, my hands are a little bit chilly. Okay. Oh, sorry, sorry. Not the right key. Not the right key. Just a minute. This is the right key. This is the right. This is the right key. Here and play a long time, but I know that you folks have limited time. So Krishna is always playing on his flute. This is the sound vibration that when the flute, the sound of the flute goes into Lord Brahma's ear, then the Vedas are created. The Vedas are expressed. They are the knowledge of the Vedas are imparted by the sound of the flute. Also, a bansuri, eventually you folks may be interested in learning how to play this instrument. It's a very subtle instrument, actually, very subtle. And with your fingers, you can create all kinds of beautiful sounds. But the main thing is that the sound comes from the air, that is from the navel, from the prana inside, inside of you. It doesn't come really from the throat. It comes more from deep inside your gut, so to speak. It's a very deep prana. So imagine that this air that creates the sound of Krishna's flute, it comes from deep inside of his inside, from his prana, from his self, which expresses the feelings and emotions that he wants to create through the sound. So it's a very, very subtle, very subtle, very refined. And by the influence of time, the sound vibration of Krishna, they transform into the different elements that we have, ether, air, and so on. So it's a very beautiful. Okay, thank you, Prabhuji. We'll conclude here with a few questions from other people. Haribol. Yes. So, the other thing we wanted to say here, because I know that there is a few people online listening to the class, so we'll continue just for a few more minutes, and then we'll open up to questions, anybody that may have questions. It says here that the Lord does not appear when the Brahmanas become angry at someone, because the wrath of a Brahmana is sufficient in itself. That's something that we have to keep in mind, is that because of the austerities that the Brahmanas do, they become very powerful, and the powers are in his speech, in the sound vibration of the tone of their voice, and the power of their own presence. Like Srila Prabhupada, he was an elderly gentleman when he came, but he was very, very, very powerful, very powerful. He had tremendous power. Even you can see him that he may look frail when he's about to pass in Vrindavan. You see those movies. But he had all the powers, very mystical power. So what to speak of, you know, that's Srila Prabhupada. But even Brahmanas, even regular Brahmanas, they are not preachers like Srila Prabhupada. Still, they have certain powers. And so you definitely don't want to get into an argument or get into on the wrong side of Brahmanas of any nature. So you always should be very, very respectful to everyone, regardless of their tradition, if they come from the Ramanujacharya Sampradaya or the Sri Sampradaya or any Sampradaya. You've got to always be very respectful. And then you present your philosophy without any expectation, and hopefully they'll chant some bhajan with you or kirtan. Actually, kirtan is good, or if you give them on prasadam, that is also good. But there is no point in getting into arguments with other people about minor details of the philosophy. Because really, the philosophy that we have, that Srila Prabhupada brought to us, is very elevated, and is not, you cannot really grasp it right away. Only a few people did that. When he came, only a few people became aware of the beauty and the power of the philosophy. But most people, you know, they heard the philosophy, but they didn't become Hare Krishnas or devotees of Srila Prabhupada. And so the best thing you can do for people is chant the holy names, have beautiful music to attract their minds, have a beautiful temple with beautiful deities. This is devotional service. This attracts the mind of people. And also give them nice prasadam. The nicest, the better. So if they take prasadam and they can smell beautiful flowers offered to the deity, and they come in contact with an association with devotees of Krishna, then this will help them to become closer to an understanding, because it's almost mystical. Like we have... Our children just went to Washington, D.C., and I asked them, well, you know, I saw the program, what they are going to do over there. One of the, some of the main, they're going to visit many museums. You're going to see, then you would think, well, why? What is the advantage for devoted children to see these museums? Well, it's good to know the history, the art, the culture of the society where we live. Also, because the more you do that, the closer you get to the mode of goodness. And from the mode of goodness, it's much easier to get to transcendence. So better to give them a culture that is in the mode of goodness than a culture that is in the mode of passion or in the mode of ignorance. So if you are a devotee, you are already a little step ahead, but before you become a devotee that you initiated and you're surrendered to a guru or a spiritual master, at least we should try to get our children to the point of the mode of goodness. And art, this was the conversation that Prabhupada had, of course, from Beyond the Shadow of a Doubt. You probably may have read that conversation of Srila Prabhupada talking about Heidelberg, and where he was discussing how if we can get to the mode of goodness, it's much easier to get to transcendence, understanding of Krishna consciousness. And so he thought, well, mode of goodness is good. It's not a bad thing. So if you can get to, you can get to the mode of goodness by music, art, culture that is in the mode of goodness, that promotes goodness. Much more difficult from the mode of passion, much more difficult. And it was amazing that actually a lot of the rock and rollers like George Harrison and other devotees that got into rock and roll music, that they transcended somehow and created actually beautiful music in glorification of Krishna within that style of the rock and roll. But Prabhupada did say that it would be easier if we can get people to come to the mode of goodness and then from there to transcendence. But anyway, let me conclude here the class and maybe we can have a few questions. And at the end of the class, it says that the Lord is anxious to give protection to the devotees. Diti knew well that the killing of her sons by the Lord would also be his mercy. And therefore, she says that the will and arms of the Lord are magnanimous. If someone is killed by the will of the Lord and is thus fortunate enough to see the arms of the Lord, that is sufficient for his liberation. Such good fortune is not achieved even by the great sages. So in other words, that if you, Prabhupada is saying here, that if you are killed actually by the Sudarshan Chakra and directly by Krishna, you automatically obtain liberation. So, and of course, this is part of the history that Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, they were born from the womb of Diti, but they are basically, as part of the narrative, that they were actually in the spiritual world, and they were the guardians of heaven, and they were cursed by the four Kumaras to take birth in this material world. So this is all a pastime. It's actually a lila, but it's a lila for our teaching and for our understanding of Krishna consciousness, and see how the Lord can change different faces, have different masks. He comes here to protect the devotees and to help them in their devotional service. All right, so we'll stop right here, see if we have any questions. Anybody have any words?
There's one question from online. They said, what happens to the many devotees who received initiation from Srila Prabhupada by letter or through another devotee, or the Gayatri by tape?
Okay. Yeah, that would be, if you receive initiation by Srila Prabhupada by letter, or maybe by becoming a devotee of Srila Prabhupada, you are a devotee already. However, it depends on your, basically, your karma and your samskaras. You may have to work through that. So the standard procedure is that you remain in association with other devotees. and that you take, if possible, shelter from other more advanced devotees, and you listen from them very faithfully and very quietly. Just listen from other devotees, especially the senior devotees, and then you'll be able to get your own realizations. In a sense, that question is similar to the point brought up by the Ritvik gurus, or the Ritvik philosophy. And that is the question that I presented to Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. I said, in our conversation, I said, well, yeah, but, I had this realization. I talk with Prabhupada like I'm talking with you right now. And Bhaktivedanta Swami said, yes, I agree. In fact, when I told him that, I couldn't believe it, but he stood up and then he bowed down to me. And he said, Maharaj, what are you doing? What's going on? I didn't know anything. I still don't know much anyway, but back then I certainly didn't know anything until I talked with him. But then he got up and said, but you are my God, brother. Then he embraced me. And then he said, yes, the Ritvik position is correct. It's good. Yes, if you connect with Prabhupada through his teachings, through other devotees, through chanting the holy names, it is good. But it is better, our Vaishnava philosophy says, according to Prabhupada, that it is much easier, more effective, is better if you are in the association with devotees, especially more advanced devotees or a guru or other devotees that are more in line, that can give you an example that you can follow in order to become a better devotee yourself. In other words, that the coming back to that class by Devaki Mataji, which is that the direct association with a person, a devotee in a personal bodily form, bodily feature, is very valuable, very, very valuable. And through books and videos, it's not the same as being in person. However, it does have a value, because like sometimes I listen to Prabhupada on Sundays, when we have the Prabhupada class, Srila Prabhupada's class on Sunday mornings, I listen to it faithfully every Sunday morning. And that, when Prabhupada speaks, I know that is the absolute truth, and you really can get into it. You can really listen to it. And when he's chanting Jaya Radha Madhava, you can feel he's in another world. He's bringing the spiritual world here to us right now. And he's in a video. It's not really in person, but he is in person in another respect by his potency. So imagine if the Christians or the Buddhists would have Jesus Christ or Lord Buddha on a video speaking directly from, they would be elated, kind of. And this is the way we should think about when we hear Prabhupada speaking on a on an audio recording or seeing him on a video. Is very, very special, very powerful. So it's not like there is no power or there is no mercy or anything. No, it's there, it's there. You just have to tune into it. So if you took initiation from Prabhupada in a letter, but you still want to advance in your Krishna consciousness, because I have seen also devotees that only saw Prabhupada from a distance, and they actually became very, very great devotees too. But it depends on your previous lives. It's like what Prabhupada said, most of you, you were devotees in a previous life, so it depends on what your karma was. And it's not that someone that had association with Srila Prabhupada for 2 years or 3 years, or they were their servants, that they may be more advanced today than someone that only saw Prabhupada once. Maybe someone that saw Srila Prabhupada once are, of the highest spiritual, on the highest spiritual platform because of their understanding of Prabhupada's teachings, and they only saw him once. I remember a devotee that told me, yeah, I saw Prabhupada at the New York Ratha Yatra, and he saw me once, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I knew he was looking at me, and he never spoke with Prabhupada, but that was it for him. He became a devotee. So you, I don't even know. There are so many, many great devotees that they are not preachers. We may not know who they are, or they may not be well known, but they are very advanced devotees. We should always be very respectful of every devotee that we encounter. Anyway, any other question? Babaji.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the nice class and for the flute tooting. Flutes are very important around here. See, look, we have our lordships playing flute, Krishna Balaram playing flute, but we don't hear them. So it's nice for devotees to make some flute sound once in a while so that we're reminded of the flute. Because where their lordships live in eternal Vrindavan, it's actually, they're living in flute culture. Their daily life is full of song and dance and art and music and crafts and making clothes and so many things. But flutes are very important. They have flute workshops where devotees make flutes. They have flute bands. Vishakha Devi, she is the, you might say, music director of Radharani's band that supplies the music for their activities. So in Vishakha's orchestra, they have flute section, of course. Just like in mundane earth orchestra, you have a flute section, right? You have violins, violas, strings, brass, flutes. So flutes are very important. Vishakha oversees the flutes. And actually, in one of these several Radha Sahasranam Stotrams, A Thousand Names of Radharani, I have about four or five different ones in my Sanskrit collection here. I found a name. One of her names is Vangshikara, which means Radharani also makes flutes, because she makes many crafts. She makes turbans for Krishna. She makes peacock feather thingies to clip on him here and there. They make flower outfits. So she also goes to the workshops. She makes jewelry. She makes all kinds of different decorations. She also makes flutes. So as you probably know, making the flutes involves cutting tools, and tools for making fire, and metal rods for burning the holes. So Radharani does all that. She gets the burning bamboo smoke blows in her face, just like it does for us. But she has maidservants fanning her so the smoke doesn't...
And he also plays, she also plays the flute quite well. And there are ragas that only Srimati Radharani plays, and Krishna doesn't play those ragas, but she does.
Oh, Rupa Goswami states in Radha Krishna Ganadash Deepika, Sri Krishna's three favorite ragas and Sri Radha's three favorite ragas. I used to have them memorized, I forget what they are, but Gauri is in there, Gorjari is in there, Meg Malar is one of Radharani's favorites, and like that. And oh, that's just a comment. The question is that that end of the purport, I was going to ask about it, and you read it again about how the demons are killed by the Lord's arms, they get a benediction that even the great sages don't get. So what is the hope for us? Srila Prabhupada brought us this culture, this Krishna consciousness. He's trying to make Brahmins out of us. He said that. He wrote it hundreds of times. So we're trying to be sages. So now the demons are getting a bigger benediction than us. Why do we get shortchanged with this deal?
That's a good question. That is a good question, except that I guess Prabhupada, I think Prabhupada said this also, that in a sense, it is better to listen to Krishna's flute and appreciate that than do some activity that he comes to kill us. In other words, to kill for Krishna to come and use his Sudarshan chakra is not what we are into. This is not what we want to do. We don't want to act in such a way that Krishna comes and kills us with the Sudarshan chakra. What we want to do is we want to be in a space where we can actually hear or even play the flute. And we actually want to go to the spiritual world and hear Krishna playing on his flute. That's what we are trying to do. We are trying to go back to Godhead to hear the greatest flautist in the planet, in the world, in the universe, you know. So everything else really doesn't count. So if you want to act in such a way that Krishna comes to kill you, it's just not very interesting. It's like, if you're attracted by that, I don't know why you would be attracted to do activities like that, like Hiranyaksha. But the devotees never want to act in such a way that they want to attract Krishna so that they can be killed by Krishna. They just don't want to do that. But the guardians in the gate of heaven, that they were cursed by the Kumaras. Yeah, that was a pastime for Krishna to come and show himself over here in this material world. It's beyond our understanding. But basically the only thing we can say is what Prabhupada said earlier, that he comes to deliver his devotees and to give pleasure to his devotees. That's all Krishna wants to do. Because God is love. He's love. He's all love. But I also brought my little flute, and this is what they play in. Actually, the Irish, very interesting for them, God is blue. Okay, thank you very much. Haribol, Hare Krishna. You have a good day, everyone.